It's Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
And Coach, we are, as always, presented by Pinnacle Racing. I'm telling you, there is still time to talk with Jimmy Blair to get what you need. Nationals creeping up, but you need wheels, you need to get cast for a boot. Just get your skates right. Talk with Jimmy Blair at PinnacleRacing.com. I know he's been a lifesaver for your son, Christian, hasn't he?
Absolutely has, and I know everybody needs to be getting ready because Nationals is right around the corner.
So talk with Jimmy. Thank you, Jimmy Blair, Pinnacle Racing, for all the support for Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. We have an in-studio guest on the show today.
Yeah, straight from college. We can't wait to get this guy in. Aaron Geddes is coming up here in just a few seconds.
Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach is proudly presented by Pinnacle Racing. Now is the perfect time to get into a new boot from Pinnacle Racing. I've been skating and racing on Pinnacle since 2008, and for me, there is no other choice. From the fit, the durability, the performance, the customer service, nothing beats a Pinnacle. Pinnacle boots are what's on the feet of our country's top skaters, and they can be on your feet too. So here's what you want to do. Check out PinnacleRacing.com. Reach out to Jimmy Blair. You can see all the options available from stock to custom. Jimmy can even send you a casting kit, or better yet, you look for Jimmy at a race or a skate meet. And trust me, he's a plenty of those. He's going to give you and your feet the attention you deserve. Plus, Jimmy is doing some incredible things with the look of the skates. He did Transformers-themed skates for me, and the possibilities are limitless for what he can do for you. I'm talking totally personalized skates. Once you're at PinnacleRacing.com and you see what he can do, I'm telling you, you're going to start drooling, okay? I already have like five ideas for what I want to do next. The equipment truly is important in skating. Get yourself the best. Inline boots, quad boots, cycling shoes, you name it. Jimmy Blair and Pinnacle Racing. PinnacleRacing.com. It's Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
And we talk about this all the time, about how easy it is for you to access all of our podcasts, our archives of shows. Just go to Podomatic and you subscribe to Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. Any way you access podcasts, on iTunes, Google Play, whatever, we are there. So subscribe. And one of the cool things you can do, like if you're on iTunes, give us a good review. It can help boost us up a little bit in the rankings on iTunes. So that's one thing you can do there as well.
Awesome. We appreciate that. And like Boomer said, make sure you get to any of your podcast locations that you get your podcasts. And just hit us up. Share, like. That's how we keep this thing free for everybody.
And I know Aaron is chomping at the bit here. So we want to bring in Aaron Geddes, in-studio guest on Skate
Straight
Talk
from Valpo.
Coach, yes, Valparaiso. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Awesome. Wonderful.
So how long have you been home? Because it's just been a matter of like almost days, hasn't it?
Yeah, just a couple weeks. I got home a couple weeks ago from school. It's good to be back, though. Good to be back at practice and all that. See the family.
So I'm going to say something here. One of our skaters comes to my spin class on Saturday mornings, Michaela Shawver. She was at spin. She was like, yeah, Aaron's back. She goes, he puts his skates on, he's already running 8-second laps. So what's up with that, man? You haven't lost a beat, have you?
8-second skaters never forget how to skate 8 seconds.
No,
sometimes
they don't.
Sometimes they get rusty, and it may take a couple laps, but they never forget.
Yeah, I've been able to keep my top speed up there, but I have lost a little bit of endurance. But it's good. It's good that I've been back, getting my form back under me. It's only taken a couple weeks so far. I got a few weeks left before Nationals comes around, and hopefully I can be back to my normal self again.
Now, you're just doing relays at Nationals, correct? Or are you going to skate in and do some actual individual competition?
No, I'm going to skate in. I want to mix it up with the senior guys.
All right, there you go. Because I know initially I think the plan was just do some relays. You went through regionals and qualified just doing relays. Yeah. But, yeah, you go out there to Lincoln. We know you'll be able to skate your way in. And you get a couple more weeks of training between now and then. Yeah, it's going to be on, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm really excited to mix it up with everybody and just get back out in competition again. It's been a while. So
how difficult is that? You know, because it's kind of like you're off and on. You miss a lot of practices, obviously, with college, but you were still able to make it to quite a few meets.
Yeah, I mean, I've actually almost skated more competitions this year than I did practices. But, yeah, it's been tough. Good thing with I just picked up football here in the spring, so that's kept me in shape. And now that I'm back at home, I just got to get my form back from my form and technique, and hopefully everything goes well.
Yeah, so we're going to go all the way back to the beginning, Aaron. When you first started, I remember you putting on those brand-new Legino attitudes with the three-wheel 100 frame. You were awesome. You were ready to rock and roll. So let's go all the way back to the Z-frame, the attitude, and start from the very beginning when you started skating. How old were you?
Well, I was about 10 going on 11 years old when I first started.
Right. And when you first came in, were you like, this is going to be an awesome sport? Or were you just like, you know, this is just something I'm going to do with dad?
Well, like when we first started, we came in and we came to a practice and we were just kind of checking it out. I didn't skate at my first practice. I just watched, and I just had some Walmart rollerblades actually at that time. And so the next practice we came back and I actually got out there and skated, and I fell in love with it immediately. And,
yeah.
I skated on my Walmart rollerblades for about a month, and then dad asked if I wanted to get serious, and I said yeah, and so then came along the Leginos.
To the Legino Attitudes. And you skated the crap out of those skates. I mean, practice after practice, those things were beat up. The eyelets were falling out of them by the time we finally got rid of those. So, what was that like going from the Walmart, Wreck and Fitness outdoor wheel blade to this Legino Attitude?
It was a tough transition. I remember I spent my first practice on the inlines in the aisle, just trying to not fall over myself. Because it was a huge change from going from what, like the 80 millimeter wheels that you have?
Maybe 72. Yeah, they're tiny.
On rollerblades to up to, I was on 3x110.
So, was it a 3x110? I thought it was a 3x100 initially.
I think I started the first, when we first got it, it was a high low with 3x100s and a 90 maybe.
Right.
And then we switched
the
pretty
Z frame
quickly to a 3x110. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And you skated on that for forever. And if memory serves me correct, when you first started skating on those, you were losing a lot.
Oh, yeah. It took me a while to start winning, for sure.
Yeah.
I went to my first meet was actually in Danville, Illinois, at the Team Illini's rink. And I skated it, not our rookie, but back then it was called Developmental, I think. Developmental Elementary. And I got third, I think, in that meet. But what surprised me, my first race out there, I was in the front off the start. I had a really good start, but
yeah,
I only had a half a lap in me. And that
was it. Right. So you won the pylon and the second pylon, and then by the time you came back around to the finish line, maybe you were in second or third and working your way backwards.
Yeah.
It was
always a struggle after this.
Well, I can remember the developmental stages. And I remember that at that time we had three or four boys that were all elementary at the time. And you weren't a number one kid. On our own team, you just were not the number one. You always won the start. And then the other boys would always just kind of pass you and beat you. And I saw you never quit. You never quit. You always finished your races. You always finished as strong as you could. And it took a few years to get to that point where you actually made it to the where you were actually beating these guys, not just on the start, but beating them in general at practices and then at meets. And I remember one very specific nationals where you had a team rival, you had a personal rivalry between you and one other kid on the team at the time, RJ Muldoon.
Yeah,
right?
I remember skating against RJ. Yeah,
yeah,
of course.
He was tough. And he was so naturally, it was like Troy Yoder. He was just naturally gifted to be fast, right? But you kept working your form and your technique and developing your skills. And when you got to nationals for that first time, you actually made it out of your heats, and he did not. And it was a struggle for him because he wasn't able to make it out of heats. But you actually excelled. You went to a whole nother level right when you got to nationals. And we didn't do great at nationals, but we got out of our heats. We made it to all of our finals, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, it took a couple of years before that happened. There was 2 years, my first 2 years making it to nationals, I got my first year at nationals
right
when I was elementary. I got last in every race.
On the heats?
Last in every heat, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the following year, I was a little bit closer, my first year freshman. And then it was actually Fort Wayne in 2011 where I finally broke through that wall and made it out of my heats and into my finals and stuff.
Right, right. What was that like? What was that feeling like for you to actually make it to the finals? And it was novice. This was novice at the time.
This was novice freshman. And to finally hear my name called, because you know they do when you're sitting in the middle and they call your name going to the line. That was a cool feeling for the first time, especially in my hometown, being able to do it in my hometown,
right in front of family and friends and all the spectators that were local. So that's an amazing thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hearing your name called. It's funny how the simple things like going into that facility, you know, going into any facility that's a Nationals is held at in these days is a pretty big deal. Because why? Well, we see hockey games that are, you know, professional level hockey games played in these types of venues, and we play in basketball games, and we see those, you know, big games in our Coliseum anyways, big concerts. They're always having these big crowds and big events. So when you go in, and there's a little bit of prestige about that, the fact that you're at, it's kind of like going to state, right? For football or for volleyball, it's kind of like going to state, only it's Nationals. It's everybody, right? So you go in there and you hear your name called. What's interesting is like as an athlete, that's super awesome to hear that. But like I take 25 skaters to Nationals, I get to feel that every time. Because every one of my skaters, when I hear their name, I get that same feeling you guys get when I hear my skater's name called going to that final. To me, is like just such an awesome event, you know, or hearing Bell Speed Club being announced. It's kind of like that we're here, we made it. And everybody that's worked so hard all season long and all the seasons, because it's not just one season that got you here. It's a lot of seasons. And it's a lot of teammates, and it's a lot of parents. It's a lot of officials at league that are officiating and then coming over to me and saying, hey, tell your skater this, that, or the other, and really helping you out to grow and develop into that next-level skater. And early on, you were dealing with football for high school, football for middle school, football for high school, and trying to juggle going to practices for football and speed skating. What was that like?
Yeah, I've been a multiple sport athlete almost all my life up until these last couple of years, but I think it actually helped. I mean, it kept me really, really busy, of course, all the time. But I'd stay after school for football practice until 6:30, then go home, grab something to eat, and head to skate practice. So I was always sore coming into skate practice, and I think actually in the long run it helped me out. It helped me out staying busy and keep me going.
And there I am in the middle, and you're coming in after having a long football practice. Your legs are already blown up, and I go, all right, everybody, I'm going to blow your legs up. And you're looking at me like, oh, crap, what am I going to do now? My legs are already blown up. We haven't even started the drill. But you still got through them. You tough through them.
Yeah, you got to be determined. And it helps having the good team that we have. I've always had somebody there for me to chase after, to push me.
Yeah.
Like you said before, at the beginning, it was RJ or Troy Yoder on quads and I was on inlines.
Yeah.
And then it worked up into Jared Bradley and then chasing after my dad. And then, of course, now chasing after Christian all the time.
what an opportunity, though, right? Because this is someone that you can chase after and hopefully catch. But at the same time, it's like it's not an easy thing.
Oh, no, it's not easy. Everybody's seen Christian. It's not easy chasing him at all. But we've mixed it up for a long time now.
And now we got Zach. We got Zach coming along who's now starting to, because he's not going to college.
Yeah,
he's hitting every practice.
Zach's killing it right now.
Yeah.
And it's when Christian's not there, it's definitely somebody else to push me.
So you at one point came to me and you said, I'm not doing football anymore. It was something about the coaches not playing, not getting field time, whatever. You said, I want to dedicate myself to speed skating because right now football's not making me happy. I'm not happy right now. And I think I can become a really good speed skater and I want to do that. And you did that for a whole season. And what happened after we did that?
When I switched over to speed skating completely, that was 2014, I want to say. And 2014 was my first year actually skating standard, and I jumped to a whole nother level that year.
Yeah.
It was my first year skating standard. I was first year junior, and I made it to every final and actually placed in two of them. I placed in the 500 and the 1,000 and competing with people like Dustin Hebson and Herb Harbison and Christian, and I was running out right with them. So, it took me that year. Took me to a whole nother level. Actually, that was the same year that I made NSC and all that.
Right.
So, yeah, switching to speed skating full time really, it helped.
Sure. Well, you were able to actually not come into practice necessarily with football tired legs. You got to come into practice with maybe a cycling tired practice legs or 10K outdoor skating tired legs, where you were on your skates a lot more. So you had time to really develop to that. And I think that it showed you also that you could be good at football and you could be good at speed skating, but you were really kind of struggling to be great at either, you know, until you actually dedicated to one. When you fully committed yourself to, that's the one that I want to do. And that's when I think you hit a whole nother level of expectation, not only from me, but also from yourself. So, and it doesn't hurt that you got a 63-year-old grandfather out there saying that if I can get up and do this, you can do it, right?
Oh, yeah. My dad and my grandpa are my biggest supporters and also my biggest, they push me along more than anybody else.
Absolutely.
I get a text or call almost every day.
I know.
Saying,
I know.
Have you got your workout in today?
And yeah. And then of course here comes dad, you know. So dad can run with you pretty much toe to toe. I mean, Jared Bradley and Jared Geddes have been two of our strongest athletes from the conception of this team starting back up. They've been the leaders, and they've pulled you kids along. Pulled Christian. Christian at one time couldn't hold a lap with your dad. Couldn't hold a lap with Jared Bradley. And eventually Christian made his way by, and Troy got up there and started making his way by, and then you made your way by. Troy was trying to catch you. And then now we got Zach, you know, and Jared's still up there running, but Grandpa will get out there after you've already skated and you're on tired legs and you're dead, and I'm saying you got to finish these last four laps. He'll get out there and run with you because he's on fresh legs, of course, but he's pushing you. He's saying you're not going to quit on this. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's... I can't explain how cool it is to have three generations of the Geddes family.
Yeah.
Go to every practice, every competition together. It's a cool thing to have.
Yeah. And we go from 63 all the way down to 9, right? Yeah. With Ayana. You know, your younger sister's out there as well. So, and she's fulfilling that next generation of Geddes. Unfortunately, I think Jared said he's done. So that's it. I mean, I'm going to have to hope that she does something great as she gets older and we don't lose her, because there's going to be no more new kids. I lost my Tiny Tot Maker. So
it's a good way to phrase it, isn't it?
He's my Tiny Tot Maker, and I lost him.
Well, he's still skating. The team, come on,
yes,
let's go.
Yes, right.
I don't know. Maybe Lakin can give it a shot.
Lakin, yeah. Yeah, we got to see what's going on with him. He's the newest. He'll be the first Tiny Tot coming out. The first Tiny Tot boy,
yeah.
Geddes. So we'll see what happens once he gets to the point where we can get some skates on him. So you made NSC. What was that like the first time? You know, I mean, you're going out there. I remember you calling me during the competition, talking with me before and after your races, qualifying. What was that like, knowing that, you know, NSC's, it's, what is it? It's pro speed skating. I mean, it's the best of the best. It's like nationals every meet.
Yeah.
So
it was really tough. So I went out for trials out in Seattle. And thinking I was going to make a sprint spot. I was always a sprinter. That was the goal, to make a sprint spot. And sprinting was the first day. And I came up after the first day of competition, I came up a spot short of making the sprints.
Oh.
And I was very devastated with that, because I figured I had no shot at making an endurance spot.
Right.
But, I mean, talking to you, talking to the family and everything like that, talking with people back home, they got my spirits up. And I came out and I did really well in the endurance the next day, and ended up getting an endurance spot in NSC. And that was cool. I got to go out and compete with some of the best skaters around, not just once a year, just all the time. And
yeah.
It wasn't just my division. It was all divisions.
Right. And everybody was on the same wheel. So if the wheel sucked and didn't work, it didn't work for everybody. Or if it was a great wheel, it was great for everybody, because it was the same wheel for everybody. That was kind of like an equalizer, wasn't it, for the most part? Or
For the most part, the only difference is was the wheel I felt like worked for lighter skaters. So power skaters, I feel, struggled more with
okay.
the wheels that we skated on.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a difference, but it was pretty similar for everybody.
Okay. So you do NSC for a season, kind of fulfill yourself with what you wanted and expected out of that. You start moving forward, going in different directions. And what was your GPA in high school?
A 3.9.
A 3.9. Why not a 4.0?
I struggle in English.
So he's at one subject.
I'm like a 1-2, right? I'm a 1-2 average. I'm saying, why not a 4? I mean, that's me. I'm always pushing. So, but a 3.9 high school GPA, still speed skated at the top level he was training at, he was competing at, and still getting these great grades. And you go to now Valparaiso College. How was that like for your freshman year for the first time being in college?
It was a really cool experience. First semester, it was a struggle for me because first semester was the first time in for as long as I can remember that I didn't have a sport. Like, I was not in a sport with scheduled practices.
Yeah.
And that was a big change for me. And it was tough for me to get motivated and get to the gym when I wasn't training for anything.
Sure.
I didn't have an end goal. So that's, I feel like that's why, a part of the reason why I picked up football here in the spring semester, just because I needed a motivator, somebody to be pushing me to go to practices and schedule it all the time, which I'm glad I picked it up. But yeah, so first semester though, it was rough not having sports.
Yeah,
we like our structure. I think that's what it is we like that. Well, we know we get done with class, we have to go train because this is the structure. This is the this is the routine.
Well, I think
and you don't have it anymore.
I think
it
the other thing that a lot of college kids, especially freshmen, they run into these problems of when you went to high school and you came home, mom or dad said, "Did you get this assignment done? Did you get that assignment turned in? You got any homework?" Right? You got any homework? They're asking you, and then it's, "We got to get in the car because you have to go to practice." I mean, you wanted to go, but it's, "We have to go. Let's go. We're going to practice." So you knew you had to get the homework done before a certain time because it was time to leave for practice. And you got you were always being directed, pushed, and taken to the places you needed to be. And now it's almost like they throw you out of the boat and the boat just takes off and they give you everything that you need to survive except them, because now you're there all by yourself. And you're not playing a sport with the school, so you don't have a coaching staff holding you accountable. You have to hold yourself accountable. And as a freshman, that's got to be very, very scary walking in for the first time, I think, for a lot of freshmen, you know, to actually be held accountable to get to class. It's not, you know, well, the bus will be here at this time, or mom and dad have to drop me off at school at that time. It's that class is in the evening.
Yeah, not only that, and then the workload, of course, when you get to college increases by numerous, like, it,
yeah,
big workload compared to high school, and you have to be able to really good at time managing, especially if you want to stay in shape. Like, because it took one semester for me to get out of shape,
right?
And I've had to work my butt off to get it back.
Yeah, well, having the bike at the school helped, and I know you put your skates on when the weather broke and got nice and got out and skated the campus and stuff like that and got some outdoor skating in. And so now Aaron Geddes is back in football. He goes to the opening training camp and walks as a walk-on and goes out there and he starts going, and the coaches are looking at you and you explain to them your football career and they don't expect anything out of you.
No. Yeah, when I went and talked to the coaches and told them about my high school career, I only played up to my sophomore year. They were like, "Well, you haven't played football in 3 years." And I said, "No, I haven't played since my sophomore year." And they expected nothing. They were like, "Well, this kid will probably drop out by March or something like that."
Yeah.
Like most walk-ons do. But I'm still here. I got invited back to camp, and I'll be going back in August and as part of the team. So
you're officially on the team?
I am.
And the next spot for Aaron is not just making the team, because he's never satisfied just doing something. He's always got to do it the best of his ability. So he made the team, but now he's got to earn a spot on the travel team. That's the next goal. Yeah,
that's the next goal when I go back in August is to, well, first of all, in these next 7-8 weeks training for nationals.
Yeah.
Hopefully that gets me motivated even more, plus training for football on top of that.
Right.
That when I go back in August, I'll be the best version of myself that I could possibly be.
Love that.
How are your football coaches with this? With you saying, okay, during part of the summer, I'm going to have my skates on, going at 35 miles an hour around corners and potentially hitting a very hard floor.
Actually.
With no pads.
Actually, when I talked with my coaches at the end of the off season, what we were going to be doing for the, what my training was going to be like for the summer. I told them about speed skating and how I was going to be training for that. And they were super excited about that because everybody on the football team has motivation to train to be good at football when they come back in August. But that makes it a little bit tougher for them when they, well, that's all the way in August. They're training for something in September, where I'm training. I have something, a big competition that I'm training for in July, where it's gonna, that's extra motivation for me to get up in the morning and get a workout in. Or,
well, I think what's going to happen too is and it, this is basically how the sport kind of works too, for all the skaters that go to outdoor nationals and then the ones that qualify for worlds. Well, those skaters, and I know there's a lot of others as well, but the world skaters, well, worlds isn't until November. Well, league's starting back up in October. I mean, everybody after nationals, you know, oh, we're going to take a couple weeks off and go on vacation, and we're going to enjoy some summer life. They take a few weeks off. When the world team members are pushing 10 times harder all through the summer to try to get to that high level of competition going into worlds. So this is kind of like your worlds preparing for the next season. The next season for you is football coming up, you know, and worlds is basically the same thing. All these world team athletes train all the way up to worlds, and some of the other athletes don't, and then they wonder why they get left behind by the world team members. Well, the reason why is because those guys train year round. They have to. They can't, they don't, their off season would have to be in December and January. They can't take off a summer. So that's what you're experiencing now. You're going to be pushing hard. We're working two-a-days. We're back on our skates. We're sweating. We're puking. We're doing everything we got to do to get to the point where you can be as competitive as possible in July. And then right out of July, you're going to go basically a little bit, a few weeks, and then boom, right back into training camp, preseason training camp or whatever. And these coaches are going to be like, oh my gosh, this guy left here and he actually excelled. Some of the other guys that may be in the same boat you are, if they don't do anything, they may come in where they were or a little bit less than where they were as expected. And maybe that's, this is the one leg up you need.
Yeah. I mean, skating has always been, it's always been there. Like, it's always had my back kind of thing.
Yeah.
I've always had that skating to fall back on, and it keeps me going.
Well, I can tell you, you are in a very small percentage of people, and here's why. Because there's certain ages, you know, skaters come in, and most coaches will tell you, we can hold a skater for 2 or 3 years easily. Just walking in the door, 2 or 3 years later, they're probably going to leave. And then there's a percentage that stay. And the percentage that stays, there's that handful when then they get to that teenage area, they get involved in school sports, or they get involved in a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and they kind of drift away. And then they go through that later teen stage where they get to driving, right? So you made it to the point where you got your driver's license and you got your car, and now it's like, okay, I got to work because now I got to pay for my insurance and I got to pay for my car and all this stuff. So then that's the next stage where we start losing athletes. And Aaron stayed. He stayed working. He stayed training. He stayed competing. And then you go out of high school and you graduate. That's that next stage. You graduate, and then what happens? Well, now they're starting life. They're going to college. Well, Aaron didn't miss a meet. I think he missed one meet this year.
Yeah, I think I missed – well, actually, I don't think I missed any league meets. The only meet that I go to every year that I missed this year was Spring Fling. I missed Spring Fling, which sucks because I love going to Spring Fling.
But yeah, that didn't coincide with your spring
Jimmy
break,
Blair,
did it? Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry,
yes.
Jimmy Blair.
That's right.
I wish I could have been down
but,
there.
But that was just a scheduling snafu, wasn't it?
Well, I think that because you weren't able to make it to Spring Fling, I feel like Jimmy Blair should skate the 100-mile A-to-A because you weren't there to make up for it. Don't you?
Yeah, I agree.
I think Jimmy's going to be scratching his head going, how do you get from point A to point B on that
yeah.
one?
Well, because Jimmy has to make up for these guys that love him to death and support him like Aaron has always done. So since Aaron didn't go to that competition, he's got to make up for it by going to his own competition in A to A. That's the next one for him.
I'm not sure if he's going to follow your logic. Not sure if he's going to follow that.
Okay.
He is on vacation right now, so you might catch him in that vacation mindset.
Yeah.
So maybe he'll go for it. Maybe like, oh, I better sign up for this then.
Well, I just got to get Kelly to grab him by those big black ears he's got right now on his head and
yes.
shake him around a little bit and point him to Athens.
Yeah, he'll be good to go, right? He's already going to be there casting boots anyway.
Right,
that
so
morning.
Why not?
So just,
why? I mean,
just
he should
skate back to Atlanta.
Yeah, he should be able to just jump right in there. I mean, mold a boot, slip your skates on, go skate.
I don't need a car. I'm going to skate back over right. that way.
Yeah. Well, he's got to work out all of his tension in his shoulders from sitting there molding
exactly.
on that table.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
We're in. So what's next besides nationals? What's the summer look like for you? Because you are on a break from college and you're home. So what have you been doing since you got back?
I'm a family guy, so I miss my family a lot. It's cool to be back in the house and
yeah.
back spending time with family. And of course, obviously training, that takes a big part. I'm back to work at Preferred and
yep.
back to my normal routine.
Right. So, just like last year or 2 years ago, same routine, only you know that you get to leave. You get to leave and you get to go out of town, mm-hmm. so you don't have to worry about building up that anger that we are stuck here in the mundane going through the motions. You're still in that growth, that kid becoming a man, even though you already are a young man, but you're still in that, you know, free spirit. You get to live and you kind of get to move around. You're not stuck in one thing yet. So that's awesome. And I know you got to spend some time with family because he blew me off. I invited him over to ride go-karts. He said, I can't make it, coach. I got a whole house of family. I said, all right, go do your thing. So
he'll find time for you at some point
know,
this summer.
It's frustrating.
You know, we'll have the definite end of the season party.
Do you know, I was the first person to go to Valpo after he was officially in school and pick him up from his dorm and take him out to dinner.
That's true.
Hey, there you go. That's a coach
we did get
right
some
there.
Good pizza.
Yeah.
They got a great pizzeria there in Valparaiso. Yeah.
Where at? My wife graduated from there, so
what's
I got to ask
called?
Her if she
knows the name
this
of
place. Greek,
is it Greek's Pizzeria or something like that? Or
it's something along those lines.
Yeah. It's right downtown. You can't miss it. It's a great location, and everybody knows about it in the town. So.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm dying to know, because we actually drove through the campus. Gosh, it's been about maybe 6 months ago, because Kara wanted to go see her old dorm. And this dorm that she was in straight up looked like it was built in the 1940s. So dorm life, good, bad? You have a new place?
I actually didn't mind the dorm life that much. I didn't spend a lot of time in there.
No AC.
Yeah, not in the freshman dorms.
No. Yeah, the freshmen get the shaft on all of that stuff, don't they?
Yeah, so, I mean, I had a good roommate, so that was cool. And then... But, I mean, I spent a lot of time outside the dorm, either in the library, or just hanging out with friends. So, really, I only used the dorm to sleep, and so it wasn't too bad. But, yeah, next year I get to move up to a better dorm. I'll have AC, so I don't know. Maybe I'll spend a little bit more time in there.
You're living the high life at that point, right? In college, I was like, yeah, air conditioning, hallelujah, you know?
I remember the first time I got a car with air conditioning, and I was in heaven. Can you imagine that? Today there isn't a car alive that doesn't have air conditioning unless it's broke down. Back in the day, they didn't have AC in a car, so I had a freshman car for a long time.
And I don't want to bring up age or anything, but I remember my freshman dorm. I mean, first of all, it was probably a third of the size of the Skate Talk studios for two of us to live in.
Yeah.
We didn't even have cable. Okay, that's how bad it was.
You didn't even have cable.
We didn't even have cable. So if you wanted to watch TV, you were hoping that maybe your antenna could get something.
Yeah.
Or else you went down to
Do
the common
Do they have cable
room.
Pumped into the dorms?
Yeah.
Yeah, you probably have everything. Cable, Wi-Fi, everything you need, right?
Yep, everything.
Yeah, man.
That's a bucket of suck.
I remember when I was younger, when I was walking my 6 miles to school.
Uphill and through
ways.
The snow.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he did have to walk uphill both ways because he was in the second story, or was it the third story of the dorm?
I was all the way on top. I was in the fifth floor. That was my dorm.
Now, were you able to find some decent skating spots around the college?
My first day there, actually, I threw my skates on, and I skated. I just put my headphones in. I kind of wanted to explore the town a little bit, and I ended up skating for like 3 hours. So I don't know how many miles I got in. I wasn't really keeping track, but it was cool. I didn't really find any trails or anything like that, but all the roads around there aren't bad, so, and traffic's not too busy, so I just went out and skated until I felt like coming back.
Yeah, you can always make do. You can always just search around and find something.
I can drive for hours with my skates in the car, and it doesn't bother me a bit, so I can see how that would
not
work.
Not even phased, right?
No. No, I don't get sores on my feet or anything.
Now, when people saw you out there, because when people see speed skates, especially with you being on the 125s, these super massive wheels.
Yeah, he's on truck tires.
Yeah, people are always like, oh my gosh, what was it? Were you able to gauge the reaction of people like on campus when they saw you doing this or even in the city?
It's always a good conversation starter. Skating has always been that conversation starter to let me talk to new people. Or it was a great way of meeting people in college, because that first day I was skating around campus and so many people stopped and asked what I was doing and where, what in the world was I wearing on my feet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was – it's cool. And, yeah, people – it's crazy because people have never heard of it before. It's been such a huge part of my life, and I, like, I can't even –
how can you not know,
like,
about it, right?
Yeah, like, I can't even fathom how you don't know about this sport. Like, it's – because it's my number one.
Hopefully you gave him, like, some YouTube links or things like that. It's like, check this guy out. Check me out. Check all this stuff out. Because I think once people see it, then obviously they get hooked.
Yeah, and you would think that with social media kind of being around for a while like it has, that it would catch on a little bit more. And still hasn't, for whatever reason. You know, you can go right now to Colorado Springs for ODN, and you'll see a spectator on the road course, because they usually set it up in a parking lot somewhere. And there'll be somebody in Colorado Springs, which is where ODN, that's where Outdoor Nationals has happened every year, right? Colorado Springs. There'll be somebody at Colorado Springs in the parking lot that'll walk up and go, what's this? Well, it's not, you know, it's our world team selection. It's Outdoor Nationals. Huh, I never even knew we had this. And they've lived in Colorado their whole life. I don't understand that. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me when some of the most minute things, I mean, how much coverage does sliding a stone on a thing of ice, on a sheet of ice and brooming it get? And speed skating gets, like, I mean, most everybody knows about the sport, right?
We get the short end of that broom is what happens,
like,
you know?
We get the broom stick is what we get.
Yeah, exactly.
So...
well, that's good that you're able to at least, because even if you only get one person out of the multitudes you've talked to, that one person who's like, man, this is really cool, I want to check things out and find out a little bit more about it, that's a win right there.
Yeah, of course. Anybody that we can bring into the sport is a positive. So I don't know if people that I've talked to, if they want to see what they have around their hometown, and I don't know, maybe they'll throw some skates on.
I tell you what's going to happen is you're going to get back. It's going to be football training camp, and all your coaches are going to see how well-conditioned you are. They're going to put all the other athletes on skates.
They're
going to
be ordering. You're going to go to the local Walmart. We're going to see a whole bunch of football players.
And they're all coming to you, coach. They're going to send them all to you.
They're going to all be in these Walmart rollerblades in the Valpo parking lot. And Aaron's going to be in his monster truck tires. They're going to be in their 72-millimeter wheels.
But that's going to be what happens, is you're going to get back, and there's going to be no drop-off. And like Coach, you were alluding to, there's going to be athletes that are going to stay the same or drop off a little bit, but you're going to come back and be better than when you left, which is crazy to think. But, yeah, you just have to keep working, you know?
That's right. That's exactly right. So when do you actually go back to college?
August 2nd is the day that I go back.
Wow. So you don't get much of a break then?
I got 2 more months.
And pretty much it's almost like
it's
2 weeks
training,
after outdoor nationals, or 2 weeks after indoor nationals, back to school.
So he's going to get that buildup of training all the way to nationals, and he's going to have a 2 week where he's going to be able to just kind of maybe say, okay, I'm going to rest a little bit, let my body recover and be ready to go physically.
You guys never rest. I've never seen a Geddes rest. I'm telling you, I've never seen that happen.
No.
Never seen it happen. Well, thanks for coming by the Skate Talk Studios, Aaron. It's good to see you. It's good to have you back. I know everyone on our team is that much better for having you back. And I tell you what, knowing now that you're going to be skating in at Nationals, a lot of the senior men are going to be like, man!
That's right.
Man, why are you doing that?
They better step their game up, because he'll be coming.
I can't wait to be there. Can't wait to skate against everybody and see everybody. Nationals is always a cool place to be. So.
It's going to be a lot of fun, so look for Aaron at Nationals. And, of course, we'll have a lot of the other athletes as we ramp up the Nationals. Thanks, Jimmy Blair and Pinnacle Racing, again, for all the support for your Nationals needs. Anything that you need for skating, talk to Jimmy. It's PinnacleRacing.com. And thank you, Jimmy, for all the support for Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
Skate fast.
And turn left.